Jill Anderson's a botanist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hey, hi.
Well, I think possibly winter is finally going to come, but what about this prolonged fall? I mean, how come? What's the deal here?
Yeah, well, boy, how come? That's a really big question. I'm not sure I'm ready to tackle that in our conversation, but it has included lots of unusual things, which are worth mentioning, and I hope everybody listening has been aware of these things as pretty anomalous for our part of the world.
Well, somebody was telling me that the red Wajir dogwood was really red, and they saw a pussy willow.
Yes, there were many, you know, strange phenomena. I've noticed that too, that the dogwoods have stayed very red, and of course that's because it's been so mild in terms of temperature, and so the, you know, many of these plants that are more adapted to being physiologically active in cooler temperatures have remained so. So there you go with the pussy willow too. But even more strange, I would say, is that as late as the latter part of October, now I know this is going back a ways, but I think it's definitely worth mentioning, there were herbaceous plants, so not woody plants, that were still putting out new growth shoots.
Really?
And even some plants were flowering. Now, strawberries would be a good example. You know, it was not uncommon for a while there in late October to still see strawberry blooms. And there were also some buttercups I saw that bloomed. There were some evening primrose that I saw in flower. It was very, and I don't have a really good explanation. Those plants stayed active. They did not go into a dormant mode in the way that one would have expected by then. And what all contributed to that, I'm not sure. But it was quite a stunning thing to see. Other obvious things, I hope, to people is that we've had almost, in many places, virtually no snow cover and very little, if any, ground frozen. And that's still the case, even at our place, which is about 5 miles inland as the bird flies from the lake. The only places where the ground is at all frozen is only right at the surface and only, for the most part, where it's had been, what little snow we had was trampled, you know, was compacted down on a trail or a driveway or something like that. But any place where there was vegetation covering the ground or, you know, litter, there really was no frost. There might be frost crystals in the water, the very moist littered layer, very upper surface of the soil, but no actual frost in the ground. Along with that, of course, is the lack of freezing, solid frozen conditions on our waterways.
Well, this fall generally, not just recently, but has been pretty moist. A lot of,
yes.
Not only has the humidity been, generally speaking, high, but there's been a lot of rain. How is that going to affect the trees?
Yeah, well, you know, it's generally a good thing for us to go into the fall. It's good. It's typical for us to have fall rains, and you know, we want that moisture to penetrate into the ground and be there and available in the spring when things thaw out, and it sets us up for a nice good moisture levels into the early summer, which is a good thing. Without the frozen ground, it makes trees in particular vulnerable to wind throw, though, when the soils get really super saturated like they are and they don't freeze up, then, you know, big winds come along, which, you know, we have had some, even just recently, some fairly windy times. And I know we always think at our place, oh, well, we maybe need to check the trails because something may be down as a result of that. I did see another real unusual sighting at our place, and that was the up until at least the 10th of December, there were chipmunks that had reemerged. So the chipmunks had disappeared. They had gone into their, you know, winter dens, but they they reemerged. And one possibility that kind of connects with what you were asking about the moisture levels is I wondered if it wasn't because they had been flooded out without the ground being frozen. Mm-hmm. And then you get these heavier moisture precipitation events. And the even if it's really wet snow and then that snow is melting in over a longer period of time, those dents, which aren't super deep in the ground, are vulnerable without the frozen ground to being flooded, of course. And so I know I wouldn't be very happy if I was relaxing in my nice den and suddenly was, you know, overwhelmed by cold, damp water. So I'm not sure that's why they were out, but there was more than one that was observed, and it had some repercussions for at least one that I, you know, was lucky enough to see. And that goes with this lack of snow cover too. Is that I was out on a trail and I heard a little noise, and you know, stopped and looked around, didn't see anything, and continued on the trail, and within a few meters, here was a dead chipmunk on the trail. And so I got down to check it out, and when I touched it, it was still warm. So I realized, oh, that was the little noise I heard was whatever the predator was that had, you know, had this, dropped it and, you know, run for cover. So I got out of the way, stepped back quite a ways and just watched, and no snow at this point. And pretty soon I hear some things, and then I begin to see an ermine. So bright
white.
Right,
yeah.
You know, after a little while, it finally checking me out and, you know, being sure that I wasn't going anywhere, it went back, grabbed the chipmunk, went running up the trail. And so again, with the conditions, I had just a perfect view of it, even from a distance, so I could watch it run up the trail and then cut into the woods and hop up on a great big aspen log on the ground and, you know, run along that and then over to another, you know, log and run along that. And then it, sure enough, eventually it disappeared with it behind another tree. And so later on, I went back and looked there, and it had pulled the chipmunk into the hollowed out core of maybe a 5 or 6 inch aspen log that was decaying on the ground. And that hollowed out area couldn't have been more than 2.5 inches at the most in diameter. So it had to have backed into that hole and then pulled the chipmunk in there after it. That was a real treat to get to see.
Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for helping us understand this prolonged and strange fall.
You're welcome.